This is Wade Rathke, and you're listening to Wade's World, a Voice of the People program. Welcome to the east side of town so that we can talk about how the other half lives and what life is like here living in Wade's World, whether that's the east side of Little Rock, Greenville, or New Orleans, or on Acorn Radio in Nairobi, Bengaluru, Bristol, or Bombay, points east and west, where we are either rebroadcast or live streamed at kabf.org, wamf.org, or acornradio.org. A podcast will be available of this show on those websites and at www.chieforganizer.org. You know the story on Wade's World. We talk to the most interesting people in the world. Today we're talking to, we're in India actually. Well, not in India. We're in Kathmandu. And we're talking to my old comrades, Vinod Shetty from Mumbai and Suresh, the king of Wild in the Streets, Suresh from Bengaluru. Welcome to Wade's World.
Hi, Wade. Nice being here. Nice seeing you.
Oh, it's been 3 years.
It's been 3.5 years.
And that's because I have not been able to get my 10-year visa renewed ever since. Now, this may be a coincidence, but ever since you got a new prime minister here, Narendra Modi. And I want to ask you all about what's happening under Narendra Modi, because I don't know if that's why I didn't get a visa or something else may be going on. But what's it like? We have the age of Trump. What's it like here in India in the age of Modi? Vinod, you want to start?
Yeah, the age of Modi, the age of Trump seems to be these populist governments who are coming into power, they're slipping into power and then going after minorities or migrants or the Muslims in India or in the USA. So this is a kind of a meeting of minds and agendas of the two most powerful people, to the largest democracies in the world. So I think it's a reminder for all of us who are working with communities and working with people to get our act together, because these are the coming years when right-wing power is going to rule the roost. So we need to organize and get people together to oppose this. And the reason why, Wade, I feel that your visa has been rejected so many times is also because the Indian government has cozied to Walmart. And Walmart has bought Flipkart.
We haven't been friendly to Walmart, have we?
I'm reminded of the anti-Walmart campaign we ran.
Which, you know, Narendra, if he was here, still is. Still alive and well on many levels. Yeah.
So there aren't many people in Walmart who like us.
And they don't have to say when they, I've actually called into the State Department in Delhi or whatever they call that and talked to them directly about what's happening, because at one point I lost an old visa and I didn't have the number. Was that, we got your number, no problem, we're on computer here. But they never give you a reason why you're denied, so they can do whatever they want for as long as they want. But this isn't about me. This is really, what is the obsession? Is this go back to the British and their split from Pakistan and India? What is the, how is he still able to get so much traction on the anti-Muslim stuff? Suresh, you know?
I think it's like they are following the British rule, divide and rule policy. Divide the minorities. Divide them, Hindus, Muslims. They just keep dividing people. And so whenever there is a voice raised, and it is a voice of an activist or an intellectual who knows exactly what rights are, so those people are being suppressed, those people are being targeted. And a year ago there were 5 intellectuals who have been arrested, and they are called as the urban terrorists. So this is how they have an agenda of theirs being implemented in the country without the knowledge of the common people.
Well, but way back to the partition, right? I mean, how many years ago was that? 65?
So 1947.
Okay.
When India got independence and the British decided to partition and break India into Pakistan and India. a lot of wounds from then. Partition caused a lot of migration, one of the largest migration of people across borders. And as you know, Pakistan was formed as a theocratic state. And India was never a theocratic state. India was always a democracy where we had 12% of the people who are Muslims chose to live within India.
Right.
And this is our strength, that we always had a 2% of Christians, we have Jains, we have Sikhs, Parsis, all of them.
Zoroastrians, yeah.
Yes, so all of them flourished in India. And what is happening now is this whole concept of the Hindu Rashtra. That is what BJP and the RSS believe in, that their agenda is to convert India into a Hindu Rashtra and oppose Pakistan. So for their cadres and for those who love Modi, Pakistan bashing is the biggest pastime. But there is a hidden agenda there, that it diverts attention from the looming dangers, looming problems faced by the people of India. That is unemployment, that is a slowdown. From 7% we've fallen to 5%. Every day factories are closing down, people are not finding jobs, there's retrenchment and contractualization of permanent jobs. This is the real problem facing India. When you start bashing Pakistan and you get people riled and you get people to lynch Muslims, what you're doing is playing to the gallery,
right,
and making people believe that their problems will go away if they attack the Muslims.
Modi recently, wasn't there an election in India fairly recently?
Sure, very recently, in the month of May.
And Modi managed to still consolidate power, even despite the fact the economy is weakening. So, but was that an urban versus rural split? I mean, how does he manage this? I mean, in the age of Trump, you know, we have a lot of the division being cities against country, people who are losing jobs, blue-collar workers in some cases voting for Trump just because as a protest vote. Where's Modi able to split the voters?
This is like he knows where to exactly to put his hand on the button. So people in India, they are the economic slowdown and the economic status of the people is being going down. So it has been a covered pressure which has been kept inside. So that is what Modi did, like selecting a few people who have who are non-paying assets to the banks, who have left the country, and propagating that he is going to bring back the black money and selling it to the, giving it to the poor. So the poor thinks that it's like their pressure inside, which has been building on for all these years, burst out. So they thought that yes, exactly, that is what Modi is going to do. At least for the first term, he did list out those names, and for the second time, he's sure to bring it in. So that was the misconception what he put it into the minds of the people.
But didn't he originally run based on his time in, as a state governor or whatever the title was?
Chief Minister of Gujarat.
So in Gujarat, wasn't he known for economic development? Because he promised that hadn't happened.
So the Gujarat model on which he won the 2014 elections was hyped up. And mainly he won because of the corruption of the Congress Party. So for the misdeeds of the Congress Party, he got a negative vote and he came into power. So today in 2019, a lot of people have voted for him thinking that he will build the Ram Mandir, he will fight against Pakistan. There was a huge attack in Kashmir on the Indian Army just before the election. So a lot of jingoism, a lot of nationalism that we are under attack, creating insecurity in the minds of people and doing a surgical strike, which was just bravado, and bombing Pakistan. These are the things on which the election was won. And today, many industrialists, many people, economists have seen that the demonetization and the GST has affected the economy. and people are suffering and jobs are not available to people. So these real issues are the major problems which can't be resolved by attacking Pakistan. So what Modi does is travels the world, builds a lot of alliances with popular leaders outside, and then tries to showcase an India which is emerging, whereas inside India, the issues which are facing the people have been neglected. And the sad part is that we don't have an opposition. We don't have leaders in the opposition who have credibility. Those leaders have been exposed because of their wrongdoings, and every time they raise their voice, the Enforcement Directorate or the Central Bureau of Investigation under Narendra Modi and Amit Shah simply open their files and take them in for questioning. And just by doing that, he's been able to shut the whole opposition up.
And now that the Enforcement Directorate has been given more powers, because previously they were not able to arrest anybody with criminal charges before. But now that this...
The immunity law, that politicians have.
New law, what he call it as Money Laundering Act or something. So that gives the ED more power to go in for the kill.
We're talking to Suresh from Bengaluru and Vinod from Mumbai about situations now in India. So, y'all were, before we turned on the show, y'all were explaining to me the situation in Kashmir. So Kashmir, there's a history here.
Yes.
Share this with our listeners.
Kashmir is a situation where there has been mass suppression of people's rights. The promises made by our country, by India to Kashmiri people have been left behind. Those promises have been broken. They were promised that there would be a plebiscite there, and the choice of self-determination was to be given to the people of Kashmir. And during partition and afterwards, when the Hindu king was hesitating, the Muslim people, that is the population of Kashmir, which is mainly Muslim, supported the Indian government, the Indian army, to fight Pakistan's some of the chief tribals who had attacked Kashmir. At that time, Sheikh Abdullah was the leader then, that is Farooq Abdullah's father, and they supported the Indian government. But what we see today, that the Article 370, under which Kashmir enjoyed rights under our constitution, that none of the laws would be applicable to the state of Kashmir, that the state of Kashmir would have their own constitution, their own prime minister, their own flag. That autonomy has been liquidated, and that autonomy has been torn up by the present government in the name of nationalism. Because every attack on Kashmir is shown to be an attack on Pakistani jihadis. And the rights of the Kashmiri people, who are today living for weeks and months without internet, entire curfew has been declared there. And people are stuck in their houses without jobs, orchards and fruits are not being exported, and the very economic backbone of Kashmir is being broken systematically. We have 700,000 troops on the ground in Kashmir.
Which is a lot of troops.
It's one of the most highly militarized zones, and what India is doing actually is the fighting the war against Pakistan in Kashmir.
Right.
So the Kashmiri people in the houses, in the orchards, the war is being fought against Pakistan. So both Pakistan and India are equally responsible for creating this situation and for exploiting the people of Kashmir, who have no stakes in this battle.
How can this possibly end well? I mean, what's the end game for Modi on this?
The end game is, unless people in India protest against this kind of adventurism and this kind of open suppression of people's rights, I don't see this government, you know, going back on its actions. We need international pressure, and we've had senators calling for opening up Kashmir's internet. There are no telephones. And what is happening is, the saddest part is the young people of Kashmir, who are just about to join the mainstream of India, they have been going to other parts of India and getting jobs, training as engineers, sure. doctors. They are being attacked in their hostels and they are being made responsible for the situation in Kashmir. We are systematically alienating the people of Kashmir, the young people of Kashmir, and we are pushing them into the arms of jihadis and into radical Islam, which is on the doors of Kashmir. So Kashmir is also a place where various factions and various jihadi groups have been showing Kashmir as the example of Hindu terror. And this is the time when we have to embrace the people of Kashmir, show them the love, show them respect that India wants them and they are Indian citizens. Give them their rights and only then Kashmir will be won and not by the barrel of the gun.
I mean, this isn't Myanmar where you can all of a sudden push the Rwanda, you know, almost a million people out of the country and make them refugees, put them in Bangladesh, whatever it is, 700,000 people. I mean, when you talk about the size of India, the Muslim population is still huge. I mean, even if it's only 10%, that's 120, 140 million people. I mean, that's big. And it's not just in Kashmir. How do we understand what's happening in the state of Assam about trying to determine whether or not people are really Indian citizens who live there for generations?
So this registration of citizenship is another adventurous goal of the BJP government and especially
and
the
Modi
Home Minister.
And Modi supposedly wants to pick up this experiment, supposedly the
rest of the country.
Experiment.
Yes,
yeah.
And you can see it that this again is totally a wrong kind of a policy like demonetization. And his ministers have spoken against the NRC. His leaders in Assam have opposed the NRC and the BJP itself was thoroughly embarrassed because their own party has been opposing this as lakhs of people, that is hundreds and thousands of people have were left out of the citizenship because they had no documents or some document was missing. So you have a bunch of bureaucrats going through your papers. I mean, what kind of democracy are we living in? And throwing people out and tomorrow, if supposing we are not able to prove their citizenship, what next? Are we going to put them out or build a wall like Trump?
Some of the stories that have been in the Western press, I mean, talk about people who, in fact, had their papers. It was a, you know, total mistake in a computer printout or somebody's handwriting or whatever, and now they're having to prove that even though they've lived there for generations in Assam, that they're citizens of India.
See, what I read in a newspaper, the person who was whose father was a freedom fighter in India.
Right, right.
And she was a well-established person in Assam nowadays. And she had all the papers, but her citizenship was denied only because her forefathers were from outside Assam. So it was a very clear written reason. Because your forefathers, your roots are from different part and you are here for
a different part of India.
Yes.
Not another country.
So your citizenship has been terminated. And that was the reason what they had given to her. And that is what she has written in the paper.
And these are again vote bank politics, basically to win elections, because you need to win elections in states where the people have been voting for a regional party. How do you break that? By creating these artificial divisions within the people. And for a country which fought with the Bangladeshi people and disembarked Pakistan and created Bangladesh. Okay, our army marched into Bangladesh and fought with the Mujibur Rahman and created Bangladesh, and it was the largest refugee.
Well, historically, wasn't Bangladesh like East Pakistan?
Yes,
it was part of Pakistan in the partition, right?
It was part of Pakistan which revolted against Pakistan and broke away with the help of the Indian army.
And what's interesting is
now they're going after the Bangladeshi.
Yes,
we are going.
The Bangladeshis who were welcomed all over the country, and we had camps. We had a tariff on our public transport where 5.5 rupee of the rupee was kept aside for refugee camps. I mean, I remember as a student that we all supported this, and there were pro-Bangladesh rallies and the Bangladeshi people were welcomed into this country. And now you have this party which was not even active at that time, coming up with this entire agenda that Bangladeshis are Muslims and they have entered the country illegally and they are potential terrorists. This entire narrative smacks of high-handedness and the RSS and BJP talking, yeah. And this is the hidden agenda.
Which is just incredible. And the borders are fairly open in India. What is the border situation? You don't have a wall between India and Bangladesh. There's always been a lot of in-migration there. I don't know how much of it's legal or illegal. I mean, I remember part of why people wanted identity cards for our waste pickers were sometimes because they couldn't get fuel and other subsidies from the government because they were Bangladeshi. But
India and Bangladesh doesn't have a wall as a border, but still it is a well-marked area where you have buffer zone on both sides, and in the middle, in some places there is a wire, and there are guards, the military guarding the place, and almost all of the border line is being guarded by the military. But still in some of the places where these rivers and lakes run, you have some gaps where people still enter into the other sides.
Do you have to have a passport if you're from India to go to Bangladesh and backwards and forwards?
Yes, to Bangladesh we need it. But what is interesting, I would like to point out, is our border with Nepal. It's a completely open border. And the people of Nepal have been working in India. India has supplying most of the goods to Nepal. And Indians don't need a passport to enter Nepal, and Nepalese people don't need a passport. So, you know, for 50 years and more, ever since we were since the British times, this arrangement has been continuing. Now, in the future, we can't trust this government to change the laws. So what happens is, there are family relations and people have two houses, people work in India, come back to Kathmandu or stay in Kathmandu and go to Bombay and work. This entire network and social strength of the people is being destroyed by suspicion, by not having faith that a government might change its rules. So we hope that the Indian government gets good counsel and stops going after people in this fashion, because that's only going to create insecurity among the people.
So is there any limit to what Modi can do? I mean, these are pretty arbitrary actions he's taken. So Parliament has always been a multi-party operation. Now here, which is the Congress party dominated for years, that was roots of the Gandhis and their family. But what's the political situation now? Is this likely to change in the next couple of years, or are there term limits for Modi?
No, there are no term limits. Every 5 years they need to win an election, but right. The way in the condition of the opposition
sounds very bad.
Very bad, yeah.
It sounds like a house, it's not in order, and the opposition parties, regional parties, will have to get their act together. And my hope is that finally people will see through this, because what started with the breaking of the Babri Masjid, and if you see the entire growth, because BJP had only two seats, and today in 2019 they won with the largest majority ever. So this entire passage of time has been a series of incidents in history, which we see the breaking of the Babri Masjid, we see the riots in Gujarat, we see the BJP coming into power, and they have used this way of coming into power on an anti-Muslim kind of emotional feeling of the Indian people. So people will see, finally it's about jobs, finally it's about the economy. And when the economy crashes, or if the economy doesn't do well, industrialists and those who are supporting Modi have started raising questions, because you can't fool all the people all the time.
Now, well, I was asked, go ahead, Suresh.
I can say that now that decline has been started now. Because now we see a lot of industries being closed down, small scale industries being washed away. And anyway, if at all the bureaucracy says that there is no slowdown, but still we feel the pinch. So now it is slowly starting. But the only thing is, those people who supported Modi and whenever Modi says Pakistan, Mudabad, they just get into that thing. So those people have to realize and come out of that trance.
Because I was asking about some developments that were in progress when I was last here in India, both in Chennai and in Mumbai, and both of you reported those things have not happened yet. They haven't been able to get the investment, or they haven't finished construction, even with a very controversial coal plant that when you and I, Suresh,
were... Coal, it was magnesium.
But they were also trying to build a power plant with
power
coal.
Plant.
Yeah.
So that you are saying about the Kudamkulam power plant. That is running now. Well,
oh, that is up.
That
and running.
Is up. Running. Good.
Because India still depends. I mean, despite the fact that Delhi is reportedly the most polluted major city in the world, it continues to use coal as a major source of fuel, doesn't it, on some of the power plants?
And in fact, recently the Modi government has allowed foreign direct investment in coal.
In coal?
Yes, because one of their favorite companies is also has bought mines in Australia.
Australia, around 1,000 acres.
So we have Indian multinationals who are close to the government going all over the world buying coal. And power companies have been bailed out recently by the Modi government, which have all done badly. So what's happening is the non-performing assets of the banks has been raising steadily, and today it has reached a huge amount. And just a week back, one of the largest cooperative banks in Bombay crashed and locking up hundred millions of rupees of people who had kept all their savings in the banks. And most of the people in the directorship of this cooperative bank belong to the ruling party. So we see this shocking incident, and there is complete silence from the present government. And while the police has filed cases, the RBI is allowing only people to withdraw 10,000 rupees of their entire savings from the bank.
And 10,000 rupees is not a lot of money on the exchange. So you're talking about, what, 2,000 US dollars, something like that, which is a lot of money, but not if that's all you've got.
2,000 rupees, still less, I think so.
What is the exchange rate now, rupees?
70 rupees.
Oh, okay, last time I was here, it was 50. Okay, I'm messing up on math because...
It's been between 68 and 70.
No, I think it should be 74.
So... $100 is 7,000 rupees.
So that's a 50% devaluation since I was here last.
Yes.
That's crazy.
And people have lost faith. So poor people who were keeping their money in cooperative banks have made a run for the money, and they're withdrawing all their savings from the banks. So, and you know, in any country, if there's a run on any bank, that bank is wiped out.
Yeah.
So what's happened is there was a robust cooperative movement which has been sabotaged by various politicians getting onto the board of directors of these banks, crony capitalism, giving loans to their friends and giving loans to such companies which have already defaulted. This has been the cause of this breakdown of the economy.
So we've been talking to Suresh from Bengaluru and Vinod from Mumbai. These are directors of Acorn's work in these two cities. If you want to support their work, you can do so by making a contribution at www.acorninternational.org. But if any of our listeners have more questions for you, Suresh or Vinod, is there a way that people can get in touch with you? Would you like to give your email address or Dharavi Rocks? We didn't really get to talk about that. We'll have to do another show while I'm up here.
So feel free to send an email to advocatevinodchetty@gmail.com or dharaviproject@gmail.com.
And to connect to me, you please feel free to send a mail to eswsdikay@gmail.com.
Absolutely. This has been Wade's World for another week, the world where the other half lives, where we talk about things you've never heard, and as Lucinda Williams sang, things you've never seen and will never forget. Wade's World is underwritten by the Darrow Foundation, a progressive force enabling change based in Little Rock, Arkansas. And as the song goes, we say it loud, we say it on the air, we say it on the radio. Until next week, we'll have another guest. This is Wade Rathke from Wade's World. Thank you. From Kathmandu. Okay.